All right, yeah, Michael says, let's get this message rolling. So here we go. Turn to Numbers. Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible. Not so hard. Numbers chapter 14.
Amen.
Oftentimes, you know, we think about sin, and, you know, it's a common saying that sin is the same no matter what it is. You know, and really, I guess what we must mean if we say that is that, hey, you know, there's no sin outside the reach of the blood of Christ. There's no sin that really disqualifies you for the kingdom. There's no sin that makes you too sinful to live the Bible. But the reality is that there are some sins that are worse than others. Certainly, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church indicates that sexual immorality is a part, a sin that is worse than most others. Certainly, the writings of John in Revelation 21 indicates the cowardice. And certainly, Jesus' teachings that if you try to save your life, you'll lose it, would indicate that cowardice is certainly a greater sin than are some others. But you know, I think one of the greatest tragedies and one of the greatest sins, I really believe the greatest sin of the Bible, is grumbling. And our title today is Anything But Grumbling.
Oh boy,
hey. You know, the messages have been preached here, amen, in accordance with the scriptures. It is true that, you know, in helping people with the Bible, it is in fact a grisly task. It is a major undertaking. It does take love to do it. And the fact is, however, if you hold to the truth will set you free. So we're going to deal with the elements of grumbling, because every time that you end up, and see, I did, it's been more than a decade though, I'll be honest with you, but I've grumbled in the kingdom, and that has got to be the worst place to be ever. To the point where you're in the kingdom of God and your life is marked by grumbling, complaining, and whining. Please, 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 for me and you and God in heaven, anything but grumbling. From the scriptures, we will see that. We're going to start in Numbers 14. The Israelites, of course, have crossed through the Red Sea. They have been delivered by God. They have been led masterfully and humbly by Moses and Aaron. They've seen miraculous signs and wonders. God has delivered them as we are delivered into the modern-day kingdom in Christ. Hello, John DeQuilla. And let me know the Ann situation, brother. And you know what happens? They begin to grumble. That's a hard place to be. In verse 26, this is God's take on it. See, it doesn't really matter what I have to say about it. It doesn't really matter if I'm just, you know, someone who is so cheerful I don't grumble. See, that's not really me. It doesn't really matter if you run into someone who's just so nice they wouldn't grumble. What matters is what God has to say about grumbling. It is intense. Numbers 14 is a typical situation. I didn't have to search for this. We could find 100 different examples today, and we're not going to do it, of people unhappy with the relationship with God and grumbling. In verse 26 of Numbers 14, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Well, that's a fantastic question. How long will these people grumble? See, the problem is grumbling is a whole different deal than most, than all other sins. Grumbling is a whole nother deal. You know, you could be in a severe handover from God, from heaven, Romans chapter 1, and God is handing you over to the lustful desires of your sinful nature. And that probably won't last forever, only as long as it takes you to repent of what God is trying to show you, and then God releases him opposing you, and you're all of a sudden good to go again. You're like that little beetle bug, you know, that is upside down on the sidewalk, and you walk by and you kind of get a little stick, you flip him over, and he's on the go again, forgetting kind of like, I don't know what that was all about. That's kind of how it is, whether it be sexual immorality, murderous thoughts, hatred, discord, jealousy. You know, God will hand you to that, But ultimately, if you repent of the underlying stuff, God will restore you back to not living that way. But it's different with grumbling. For ask yourself, how in the world is God going to deal with a grumbler? How is God going to do it? I think that's why God asks the question, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? How long? Tell me what's going to put a stop to it. Giving them what they want? You'd have to change the Bible to do that. What's the solution for the grumbler? Well, give them what they want. Come on, God. Change the Bible. Come on, God. Don't be faithful to the Bible. Nobody else is, despite what you said you'd be. What is the solution? Please, ponder it. Go deep in your mind. What is the solution for a grumbler? There is no solution for a grumbler. The only hope for a grumbler, a complainer, a whiner, is that they will ultimately acknowledge the Scriptures. We're going to look at it today. There is always a way out. But that they will come to their senses, escape the trap of the devil, repent, and live the Bible. There is no other solution, right? And that's why God is like, how long? I mean, God, with his infinite vision, cannot see the end of the line. He can't see the light at the end of the tunnel or when the grumbling would stop. That's a bad place to be. But you know, most other troubles, concerns, temptations come and go. Satan, even himself, comes and goes, waits for a more opportune time and leaves you. But grumbling, that thing sticks like glue, and it is going nowhere. That's a bad place to be. And that's where they're at. And as disciples of Jesus, you know, I was a grumbler. And you know, the reason I was a grumbler, ultimately looking back, it was 12 years ago, was the fact that I actually was counting on someone else to make my relationship with God good. I actually expected and began to demand in my heart that other people do what they got to do to make my relationship with God good. That's a bad place to be. A lot of curses involved there. Woo! You know, that's not something you want to sign up for. Anyway, how long? And it's, you know, how long will this wicked community grumble? Well, just take a time out and look at the facts. How wicked we are. Wicked and grumbling. Sinning and grumbling. Deliberately sinning against God, against our brothers and sisters and the lost, and got a grumble in our heart anyway. Yikes. I think that's like God's like, you know, it'd be one thing if these people were righteous and having a hard time and they're praying through their perseverance. It is another thing just to live selfishly, wickedly, horribly, dishonorably, unbiblically, sinfully, selfishly, and then grumble to boot. I mean, if there's any, you know, the traditions of men do nullify the Word of God, but if there's anything that ties God's hands, it is a grumbler who's in sin. And most people are neck deep in it if they're grumbling. It's like, what is the solution? There actually is one we'll look at. And it says, you know, I have heard, middle of verse 27, God saying, I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. You know, they didn't really openly grumble against God. They openly grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And that's how we do it, you know. We don't openly grumble that God is the problem. We grumble against God's servants as the problem. But you know what happens? And this is why it gets really, really ugly for the grumbler. It's because the person who hears it is God. Whoops. I didn't really mean for God to hear it. I just wanted to point out the fact that Michael's not being what he needs to be to help me. And I got a problem with Michael. I don't want to involve God on it. But the problem with it, biblically, is that God says, oh, I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Nothing you can do about it. God is going to get involved. It's a bad place to be. You know, I think we just need to be humble and honest. say, you know, in my heart I want to grumble about the fact that we're out here in the lightning and the rain. I think it's a dumb idea. See, I think it's a perfectly dumb idea. It's why we do it, to test hearts. I mean, why is it we can't go to that house we're going to go to anyway now and avoid all this bug stuff? I don't know, but I'm the only one who says stuff like that. You guys all just go, well, that's not the idea I would have come up with. Oh, what was that? Because God can hear your heart, and it doesn't matter whether I hear it or not. God hears it, and God is going to deal with you. I'm not going to do anything to you. I agree with you. You can be mad at me all you want. But the fact is, God is listening, and he has heard the complaints. Complain, complain, complain. Look, this is Orlando, Florida, USA. There is nobody who has any reason to complain about anything, right? Got to manufacture something. Got to manufacture it to complain about it. Those people, I don't know what they're doing over there. Verse 28. God's going to get busy here. So tell them, God talking to Moses and Aaron, to tell the people who are grumbling. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You know what? Not only is God listening and God taking over, but you know what? God is actually going to give you the very things you're grumbling about. If your heart grumbles about being bitten by ants, God's going to give it the very thing you said. You'll be bitten by ants. If you want to grumble about the fact that somebody else might be promoted over you at work, God is going to give somebody else that promotion over you at work. You grumbler, God's listening, and he's going to give you the very thing you said in your grumbling. If you don't think you're being appreciated enough, oh, dial it up. Book it. Bet the house, the farm, and the kids. You're not going to be appreciated because God is going to orchestrate it in accordance with your grumbling and fulfill the scriptures. That is beautiful music, isn't it? And you wonder, see, I knew it was a bad idea. What? Now you know that God just fulfilled his prophecy that he would pay you in accordance with your grumbling. Congratulations for fulfilling the Bible. And if you got the humility to acknowledge it, you could get out of it. I love that. That's just beautiful music. Isn't that beautiful? And then in our hearts, see, I remember, nobody grumbled more than I did. Please. And I had this many reasons to do it. 0.0 reasons. And you know, I grumbled in my heart, and everything I grumbled about happened to me. Everything. It's incredible. And nobody preached this to me ever. And 12 years later, the Holy Spirit gets me to chuckle. That's what was wrong with my life. Yeah, it's real nice to know now. I'm trying to spare some of us, though. I mean, you don't have to pay that price, but that is what's going to happen. You know, that's what's going to happen. And you got to be honest. If there's something you don't like, that's awesome. It's a chance for you to be in the light about something that's not so flattering for you. Okay? I don't like anything. I don't like preaching. I don't like teaching. I don't like meeting. I don't like people. I don't like reading. I don't like praying. I don't like having to explain anything. I don't like the light. I don't like any of this. I've always been open about that. Come on, join me. Come on. You're not so cool and great. Come on. Come on. I know I'm not the only one who hates this. And by the miracle of God, I love it. I lose my life and I find it. And this is it. And it's awesome. But it starts with the honesty of acknowledging who we really are. But isn't that awesome? That God says, oh, tell them as surely as I live that what they've been complaining about will be done. Verse 29. In this desert. You mean not the next one we're going to travel to? Oh, no, we're starting right here. In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. You know, we have a new regime in my house, and it has to happen. You know, Shaw and I have to get sorted out every once in a while because our kids keep growing, and there's a whole new host of issues. But the Quillas know what I'm talking about, the Fosters. The Aurelises, oh man, you got all the stages to go. But it's like, Whoa, something new is needed for these kids who are no longer four, no longer two, almost 10. But 10 is not 20. See, in my house, kids, you can grumble and complain all you want. You'll be spooned for it, but you can do it. God's not saying you can't do it. But for those who are 20 or more years old, yikes, that's everybody here, isn't it? Whoops. Except Jelani, he's free. Check it out, verse 29. In this desert, your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more who is counted in the census, who has grumbled against me. When you are 20 years old or more, you need to know that you can't act like a little child anymore. And though your parents may not have actually raised you, and you may be 28 and still need a mommy, and you may be 38 and still need a daddy, God is filling the bill. You over 20, you are old enough to know and read this and understand without grumbling and complaining, and understand that what is happening to you is happening from God, that God is the one involved. And you can't blame your coworker, your wife, your parents, your upbringing, your finances. Like, look, all of you have grumbled, it's going to be ugly. Look in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, right after Hebrews, near the end there. It is incredible. And that's a typical situation, I'll tell you. That's just a typical situation where God is letting you know that you can grumble against anyone you want to grumble against. The one who hears it is God, even if you don't say it. That's awesome. I mean, I love that. What great assurance we have in the kingdom that this is God's kingdom, this is God's ministry, and God is watching and listening and knows what's going on. And He will take over. All right, James chapter 5. This is God's deal. James 5, verse 9. Careful now. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door! Exclamation point. You got a problem with me? Look, there are only 42 million reasons to have a problem with me, but that isn't your problem. I mean, I'm wretch of wretches, don't know what I'm doing, clueless in every way, bumbling and stumbling my way through life as I've always done, getting what the world would call lucky all along the way, and I can't explain it any better than that, really. But I'll warn you, if you want to grumble at me, your problem is not me. I'm likely more than happy to agree with you. Oh, you're right about that, brother. I am a loser. Man, brother, thanks for pointing that out. I really don't have a clue. That's not your problem. Your problem is God standing at the door, exclamation point, and He will deal with you. The reason that is so awesome is that is how, I think that's a hopeless case, ladies. Nice effort. I'm not going to grumble if you want to stand there, but I think that is a hopeless case. You know, like just so you don't know, you know, if it torrentially rains, we'll go home and we'll preach at home. I mean, I don't read where, you know, it's really faithful and really intense for us to stick it out and get drenched and struck by lightning. I mean, my faith is better than that. I don't have to prove anything. If I'm wimpy and a loser, God will let me know by handing me over to who I am, and then I'll be able to say, hey, God has let me know I'm wrong about something. I don't know how you live. It's not a lot of math. Anyway, don't grumble against each other. This is why this is so important. Very, very important. This is a ministry of God. It is the kingdom of God. It is very important, that being the case, that men not be able to mess it up. For if it was justifiable in some circumstances to grumble against men, grumble against me, grumble against Elena, grumble against Pat, then we would do it, and we would feel justified because some sinful people who aren't perfect, who aren't sure what they're doing, who have messed up, have given me reason to grumble. Well, that'd be a pathetic ministry, I'll tell you. But God is letting you know that this is not a ministry of men or women, but a ministry of God. And you're going to have to take your complaints and your whining and your grumbling to God. At which point I'm sure God will say, so people aren't perfect? Yeah, God, people aren't perfect. Then God will probably chide you along by saying, people mess up? Yeah, they do. And, you know, people don't always know what they're doing. Right. They don't always treat you perfectly. Exactly. I'm glad, you know, well, geez, you know, what do you want? The kingdom of men? Good luck. The kingdom of God has imperfect people in it, but the fortunate thing is the judge is at the door. And with the judge at the door, he and not me will let you know how you're doing. He and not me will let you know what the deal is. You can grumble against me all you want. The spanking you're getting is from God. You can fight with me all you want. Oh, many people have, and many people will. Doesn't bother me any. God is fighting the battles. And in many cases, people aren't saying it because they're too wimpy to do it. They're muttering it under their... Sometimes at their own home, because they can't make it to ministry. I'm not going there tonight. I've had my last time around. And God is dropping hot coals from heaven on their life. And they're getting madder at me. Please, let the scripture bail you out. Anytime I get in trouble, Pat's the best at this. He's been in a lot of trouble, hasn't he, Jonelle? The scriptures, however, always bail him out. I want to be someone like that. I want to be someone who is always bailed out by the truth. Can I get bailed out here? Aha! The judge is at the door, exclamation point. That's my problem. Because even though I'm hiding in my own apartment with the door triple locked and the phone cut off and not reading my email, the judge is at my very own door, knocking it down if need be. That's ugly. Okay? I want you to understand, it is God's deal. When I was grumbling, complaining, and whining, this seems remarkable. I was about a year old in the Lord. I didn't know it was God. I actually really honestly, it's pathetic, but amen, I'll offer myself up for observation. I actually really thought my problems were other people messing up. I really believed it. And I didn't understand that my problem is really that God is at my door and he is dealing with me. And so when you feel like whining, complaining, grumbling, understand, that's a great place to be, for the Lord is near, and he is sticking it to you in accordance with the scriptures, and it doesn't have anything to do with the failings of your household. It doesn't have anything to do with the failings of men. It has everything to do with the judgment of God and him laying it on you. Lamentations chapter 3. Anybody wet yet? I'm under the tree. Oh, yeah? Oh, a little bit. It's coming out. We got a new guy working on the sign, by the way. Lamentations, chapter 3. I'm hustling. Lamentations is snuck right in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You go too fast, you miss it. Lamentations chapter 3. You know, the Bible promises a way out. 1 Corinthians 10. promises that no matter what, God will provide a way out. Look at Pat snuggle in. Is it raining?
Yeah.
All right. That's terrible. All right, it's going to go a while.
Preach, brother, preach. Don't swing back.
Lamentations 3, verse 38. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Good question. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? It is God's deal. It'll always be God's deal. If we could get that down, I'm convinced that every grumbling, whining, and complaining will be very short-lived, because we'll know that it's against God, and hey, how long can we keep that fight up, huh? But if you let me grumble against Pat, if you let me grumble against Shao, I could run that thing for years. I mean, they'll constantly give me more fuel for the fire. I could grumble forever if I get to grumble against them. But if it is against God, eventually I'm going to say, all right, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, you can go under that tree over there.
Can you hear?
Oh, you'll be able to hear.
Preach, brother.
Michael's telling me to keep going. Look, good things don't happen to you because you're a good person. Good things happen to you for whatever reason God gives them to you. That's it. Bad things don't happen to you because you're a bad person. Calamities. Those don't happen to you because you're bad today, though yesterday you were good. You got a raise yesterday, but today you got fired. Well, the difference between that yesterday and today is not that you were a great person yesterday and you're a bad person today. It's just God letting you know that He has full reign. I love this weather. Uh-oh. He's telling me to cut. All right, we're going to go home and we're going to pick it up right there.
Amen. You bet right.
We're going to pick it up right there.
We magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh Lord God Almighty.
Amen. Hey, you know, it occurs to me that almost every message in the Bible got interrupted. So, amen. We finally got interrupted. We've preached so powerlessly and so superficially that we've never really had to be interrupted. Until now. We're picking it back up in Lamentations chapter 3. And Pat's appealing and you know, really wanting everyone to read verse 38. So read it on your own time. It was preached at the park. Pat says, nobody was listening. Well, brother, you know, nobody has ever listened ever. So, you know, amen. So read 38 or, you know, do what you got to do. We're going to pick up in Lamentations 3, verse 39. You know, the stuff we're looking at now is you know, and I've been trapped in grumbling and whining, and some of you have been, are, or will be, or all three. And, you know, this is how you get out. And the first thing you understand is the fact that this is all coming from God. This is not coming from people's failures. It's not coming from people not being perfect. It's not coming from that. It's coming from God. Calamities and good things, verse 38. Verse 39. Here you go with a great question from the Holy Spirit. Why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? That's a dandy question. You know, and yet when we're grumbling and whining and got a problem, we don't ask that. It's like, you know, think about it. You know, think about it. You know, we decide to deliberately sin. You know, I know this is wrong. I know it's a sin in the Bible. I know what I'm doing is not right. I know God's not going to be happy. I know I got to get in the light about this. I don't want to, and I'm going to do it anyway. And the Bible asks, why should any living man complain when punished for his sin? You know, it's like, where is the room to complain or grumble? Because I'll tell you, sin always precedes it. So if you're whining, grumbling, complaining, I can guarantee you, you have been in sin, are in sin, because sin always precedes complaining. And the question God asks is, still alive? Deliberately sinning? Not paying attention to what you know? You know the consequences? You have no authority over your heart. It is beyond cure, and you're going to harden it by sin's deceitfulness. You're still alive, and now you're going to complain? That's a bad place to be. You know, because of the increase in wickedness, Jesus taught, Matthew 24, verse 12, the love of most will grow cold. You know, the thing that makes you cold, maybe you weren't always cold in Christ, but the thing that makes you cold and not care anymore is the increase in your wickedness and the fact that your sin has made your heart cold. And it's like, and now your complaint is what? What is your complaint now? Like your sin has led you and driven the warmth, the love, the conviction, the concern for others out of your heart that you're cold, and now you got a complaint? How did you get here? Sin. You know, sin makes us so dumb. The dumbest people on the planet ever. All time and forever till the end of time. The dumbest people you'll ever find on the planet are disciples of Jesus in sin. Guarantee you. See, the people painting the town tonight in downtown Orlando who don't know Christ don't act nearly as dumb as the disciple in sin. And the complaint is what? It's like you're a disciple of Jesus. I haven't killed you from heaven yet. And God's question is, why should you complain when I punish you for your sin? You've become cold. You've become dumb. And some of us sit in the dark. We don't want to talk about it. How you doing? I'm all right. All right. You need some stuff you got to talk about? I really don't want to talk about it. Wow. Sitting in the dark, dumb, cold, following deliberate sin, and I don't want to talk about it. But I want to complain that God's dealing with me. That's a spectacular place to be. I think even people in the world know that they're reaping a whirlwind because of the silliness of their lives. And disciples of Jesus would grumble and complain against brothers and sisters, etc., etc. There is no cure. It is a bad place to be. It's a great question from God. Verse 40, we can get out of this, brothers and sisters. We can. Because I got news for you. You know, amen. You know, I guess I have to blame Jamie and Lynette for the rain because, you know, we've never had that before. You know, I want to tell you, it's such an awesome biblical challenge, the existence of Jamie and Lynette. More challenges coming down the road, just in terms of like, where are we at in the Bible, and how's this fit in, and what are we dealing with, and all this stuff. And it's so awesome because we get to live parts of the Bible that none of us have ever seen before, amen? But the cool thing is that it's always going to be ugly. You know, Lynette and Jamie have a hard road ahead, a hard road ahead that will have to be paved with great humility. And then they can do great. Everyone else will have to be clothed with humility and the fact that I don't scripturally know how to do this. Any ideas, anybody? And we can have our own road paved with humility as to how to really help people too. But what's going to happen is it's going to get ugly. You know, people are going to get discouraged. And people are going to get into sin. And people are going to get upset. And people are going to have struggle with attitudes, and people are going to just, you know, and try to explain things without the Bible. It's going to happen. It is a grisly task ministering the truth. So the way out of that, the way to survive that is not to give up. It's not to quit. It's not to leave. It's not to go somewhere else. Verse 40. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. That is how you get out of grumbling. Examine our ways and test them. Please, get the Bible out. Please. It's like, what am I doing? What am I thinking? Where am I at? What is really going on? Please, spend $2.59 at Publix. Get yourself one of those feather dusters. Get to work on your Bible and get all the dust off of it. Get it open and examine it and say, where am I? Examine your ways and test them with the Scriptures. You know, where am I at? And if you can't do it on your own, amen, most people can't, then find somebody who will open the Bible for you rather than go down the grumbling road to hell. please. Find somebody who will get their Bible out and help you. You have got to do it. That's what God's saying. He promises that there'll be a way out. Let us examine our ways and test them. This isn't working. Let us examine them and test them with the Bible. Let us return to the Lord. For disciples of Jesus, I know this. There was a day. And I heard you. Some other people may have heard you as well. And you know you said it. Jesus is Lord. All right. Bible says, Lamentations 3:40, middle of the verse, and let us return to the Lord. You want to survive temptation? You want to survive difficulty? You want to survive tests? Return to the day when you said, Jesus is Lord. School is not Lord. Your good career is not Lord. Your brother messed up is not Lord. That's no big deal. Comes with the territory. And you knew it on that day when you said, Jesus is Lord. You've got to return to that day. I will call you to it. I will call you to that day when you said, Jesus is Lord, in the presence of many witnesses, and pledged a good conscience before God that that was your life. I don't want to hear any grumbling and whining about it. That's the pledge you made, the confession you made, and we need to see it. And it is the way out. It is the way out. Don't give me some rigmarole about your coworker, about your finances, about your family pressure and your parents cutting you off. Look, there was a day you said, Jesus is Lord. I want to see it. And on that day, it didn't matter if someone came up and said, I'm going to chop your head off. Yeah, chop away. Hey, I don't know how your baptism was, but mine was a real one. Okay? Someone called and said, I'm not talking to you ever again if you do this. Goodbye. May you repent, come back to your senses, and I'll teach you a thing or two, though I am a wretch of wretches. Okay? There was a day when we said Jesus is Lord individually, and we meant it, and the call is to return to that. That's what the Bible calls us to, verse 41. This is the way out, okay? The way out, oh, please, anything but grumbling. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. I know the temptation. Look, I'm not going to pretend to be clueless. When I am let down, I remember, see, I grumbled for about 10 months. From age 7 months to 17 months. That's a bad... Is that? Yeah, that's 10 months. Is that a year? No, that's 10 months. Anyway... And that, you know, there's a lot of other plans that come in the mix. You know, you think, all right, plan B. This obviously isn't working. All right, the ministry's not working. Plan B. All right, I'm going to live the Bible on my own. Yeah, I could do that. Hey, and that'd be kind of nice. Wouldn't I answer for anything? I'd be left alone. I could. Okay, now where are the scriptures now? Be sure and test all this now. Okay? I mean, nobody's kicking you out anywhere. True, true, true. If the persecution of Saul comes, if Saul comes and persecutes the church and everyone's scattered, amen. You preach the word wherever you're scattered. And you'll all be scattered. No, you got nobody with me. I've been scattered by persecution. I'm going to preach wherever I go. That's a little different than saying, I'm out of here. I don't like you guys. I'm gone. Look, plan B. That's not where we lift our hearts or our hands. Okay? You know, my own ideas is not where we lift our hearts and our hands, but to God in heaven. It's like, God, what shall I do? Where do I go from here? What do I need to be and what do I need to do? And I know, God, from the scriptures in these verses, you're the one dealing with me. And it's good to know that. Because I'll tell you, my 10 months came from confusion that I actually thought the problem was people. And that's a hard lesson. I thought the problem was people not being perfect. Look, turn to God, return to Jesus as Lord, and make it happen. And this is the motto of every grumbler, please, verse 42. This is your motto. He says, lift up your hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled and you have not forgiven. Period. That's the problem. Okay, that's the motto of the grumbler. Okay, hey, I know how it is. You know, we wanna complain and grumble. And when you do, you've got to quote the Bible. The Bible is actually, I mean, it's like a spoon feed. It's milk or formula.
You know, talk about spoon feeding you.
Okay, this is what you do, the Bible says. This is what you do, all right? Before you grumble and complain and whine, what you do is you lift up your hearts, your hands to God, you return to, you know, Jesus, Lord, and all that. You test things with the Bible and everything. And then you look up to heaven and you say, and it's giving you the quote. You know, you have to make up your own stuff. You know, you have to look up the going to quote you here now, because this is true for everybody. Oh, I know we're all perfect. You know, you get to say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. That's the problem. Why am I mad at so-and-so? Because I have sinned and rebelled, and God has not forgiven me. Why do I have an attitude at so-and-so? Because I am in sin and rebellion, and God is not forgiving me. Why do I have a complaint?
Because I'm in sin, and I've rebelled, and God, the judge at the door, is dealing with me and judging me without forgiveness. Okay, listen to Boomerang, the message. If you want to, without forgiveness, I'm not in Christ, we're all forgiven. Oh, well, I, you know, we didn't just cut out one little verse of the Bible and throw the rest away. There are other verses. You don't forgive someone, you won't be forgiven. I don't care how much blood of Jesus you're in.
Really?
Whoa, no. Go to some Baptist church then, pretend you can find that out on the last day. Okay? Look, the answer is we have sinned and we have rebelled and God is not forgiven. That's the problem. See, it's another thing to sin and rebel, stay in the light, stay honest, stay in accordance with the Scriptures, get forgiveness, and then go, man, I am such a wretch and God is just too good to me. It's a whole other deal to survive sin and rebellion righteously. It's a whole other deal to hold on to the Bible and survive sin and being taught and struggling times righteously, as opposed to rebelling against God, continuing in sin, getting in the dark, being cold-hearted, pretending you're not, and blaming somebody else. That's a hard, hard spot to go. Okay, that is how you get out. Every time, husbands, you're upset at the wife because you are in sin and you are in rebellion and God is not letting it go. That's it. Sorry. I know honey poo's not perfect, but the Bible's telling you that isn't the problem. Wives, absolute same way. You got a husband, you're married to a bozo. Okay? Good luck to you. But I'll tell you, if you rise to the attitude and a grumbling, complaining heart at your bozo, granted he will sign a dotted line confessing such, affidavit and all, and you got a problem with him, your problem is the fact that you are in sin and rebellion against God and the judge is standing at the door, exclamation point, and not happy. Because when you said Jesus is Lord, he actually took you up on it. And now you got a problem with someone.
Huh?
That's how you get out, if you're interested. 1 Corinthians 10. There's more. You know what? All of this has led up for a special dessert from me to say what I really want to say, which is in 1 Corinthians 10. John's moving back. Our hurt eye brother is clearing up. Okay? I mean, I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I get a chance to say what I really want to say. I wanted to say this a long time. Uh-oh. It better be nice, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Our title is Anything But Grumbling. Verse 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. You know what? This is a letter Paul writes to disciples of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus, you can do anything you want to do, period. Everything is permissible. He says it again, everything is permissible. Hey, it may not be beneficial. It may not be constructive. It may not even be in accordance with the Bible. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, you can do anything you want to do, period. Anything. And I've told some of you this. You can do anything but grumble. It's the only thing you're not permitted to do. You can mess up. Amen. You can slip and fall. Amen. You can get taught by God. Cool. You can be nearsighted, farsighted, short-sighted, blind. You can be too young, too old, too weak, and too dumb. You can be too silly and too ridiculous and too out of control. You can be anything you gotta be, but you cannot complain about it. I'll give you some examples. You know, a relative was on the road. He would call me once in a while on the road, and it wasn't fun. And he just wanted me to tell him to come home. And I'd say, brother, I'd love for you to come off that road and come home. But you know, brother, the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you that you can do anything you want to do but complain. And brother, you're like me. You're a capable, presentable part of the body of Christ who complains. And you are complaining on the road, you complained before you left, and you will come home and complain. I am convinced that God in heaven does not care what you do. He doesn't care if you flag down traffic in the middle of I-70. He doesn't care if you come home and lay on the couch and say, I'll start working when I'm 50. He doesn't really care as long as you don't complain, brother. The time has to come when we stop grumbling. Please, 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 please. You can do anything but that. And the reason I tell you is this, all right? Look, you can, people are going to go, is he talking to me? I'm always talking to you. Don't worry about it. You know, what's that for me? Why wouldn't he pull me aside? Let's just let everybody know. Look, you can go to school. Okay, you're permitted to go to school. Don't complain about your debts. You decided to go to school. That's your decision. You can't complain about your debt. You can decide not to go to school. Don't complain to me about making $7.50 an hour when you're 50. Well, I can't make as much money as you, brother. You decided not to go to school. That is permissible. I don't know if it's constructive or beneficial. You do the math. But you cannot grumble about it. You can do anything but. You can buy your wife or your fiancé a big diamond ring. But don't complain to me when the squeeze comes at work, layoffs are coming down the pike, and you still got that big old silly thing to pay for. You can do it. Buy it. It's permissible, but don't complain about it after you do it. You can buy a big old house, but I'll tell you, if you're not getting any sleep at night because you're wondering the market went down and all of a sudden you're not so secure at work and you can't sleep because you bought a house too expensive for you, that's permissible, but you cannot complain about it. I don't know if it was permissible or beneficial or constructive. You do the math. I'm just telling you, you can do anything you want, but you cannot whine about it. I am saying what I want to say. You want to buy a fancy car to live with the Joneses, and you think that car for just $3,500 more is a fancier model than the Toyota laydown model, and you can get into a Lexus. You know what? You can do that. Knock yourself out. But don't complain to me about it when it gets repoed because you couldn't make payments because you decided not to go to school. Look, you can do anything you want to do but grumble. Because grumble, I'm telling you, we make all sorts of decisions. All sorts of decisions all the time. Where to work, how much to take, whether to look for another job, whether the wife works, what to do with the kids, how to honor your parents, how to serve the ministry, how to take care of people, what bills to pay, what budget things to cut. Okay, constantly, 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 constantly. What to buy, whether to buy that, whether to buy this, whether to drive that car, live in this house, live in that neighborhood, pay these taxes, cheat on this. Look, you do whatever you want to do. But what is going to happen is that God is going to grow you because you are going to be dumped off in one of a few places. Okay? You're going to be dumped off. Yes, it doesn't sound pretty, but you're going to get dumped off somewhere. You're going to get dumped off in the fact that that was constructive, that was beneficial, or You're going to get dumped off in the fact that you grumble in your heart about how hard it is for you in Orlando, Florida, USA. And that's quite a handover. And the reason is because you have made decisions that you are permitted to make. Amen, make them. But I tell you, God is going to drop you off, and it's either going to be constructive, beneficial, or result in you grumbling in your heart. And it will all have come from you doing what you're perfectly permitted to do. Isn't that awesome? You can do anything you want. See, I love the fact that this is a ministry where everyone is free. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that we have been set free. This is the freest place on earth you will ever find. You can do anything you want to do. If you want to come here and lie about your life and look good in the eyes of men, you can do it. If you want to come here because this is where you like to come get food and you'll just put up with the spiritual parts of it, you can do that. If you want to come here because you want to be challenged with the Bible and you want the Bible to slice and dice you and make you serve God better, you can have that. You can have and do anything you want forever. If you start with Jesus is Lord and finish with I don't care anymore, that's fine. You can do that. It is permissible, but it will not work out without you getting dumped off into grumbling. Okay? You can do it. If you want to sin, sin. If you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. If you want to preach, preach. If you want to teach, teach. If you want to encourage, encourage. We can do anything we want to do. There is no freer place on the planet than the Bible and this ministry. There's nothing you can't do. It will be whatever you want it to be. If you want to be superficial, but don't complain to me that there's nobody close to you. When you're always fine, I imagine it's hard to get close to somebody who's always fine. I'm never fine. I'm either doing great by the grace of God or living in my wretchedness. Fine, I can't even figure that out. Okay? And so, look, you reap what you sow. The Bible is just true, and that is how it is. And you can do anything but grumble. Anything. Check this out. So some of us may wonder, oh, man, now I'm afraid to do anything. Do I have one eye open at night because of I bit off more than I could chew? All right. You got to love the Bible, the fact that it will give you the solution. It's like, all right, anything but grumble. How am I going to keep myself? How am I? Because I'd want to know. I'm telling you right now. I think we've been there. But the worst place I've ever been spiritually is in grumbling. It's the worst place. I mean, I've walked the streets of D.C. trying to find somebody to have sex with and fall away. That wasn't nearly as bad as living in grumbling. Okay, and that's a pretty bad place to be. Okay? But how are you going to stay out of grumbling? Because you're going to get dropped off. Okay, next stop, everybody out. Whoa. And what if my decisions aren't very beneficial? What if they aren't very constructive? This is how you're going to do it. You know, what if it's not working? How do I know until it's too late? What if it gets too late and I don't know? And all of a sudden you're old yeller with rabies. You know, all of a sudden, wow, what happened? Oh, I might be that now. I might have rabies now and we don't even know it. You know? Verse 24. This is how you do it. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others.
Oh boy.
That ought to take care of it. You know, when you decide what house to buy, then you should seek the good of others in that decision and not your own good. And you'll win. The Quillers are right here. Hey, we're getting a house. And amen, I've heard their plans. I think they'll be fine. You know, it's like, hey, oh, minister here, and kids over here, and preaching down here. And, hey, it sounds good. Hey, plan to have a house full. Nobody should seek his own good, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24, but the good of others. You're going to move to another city because others need you to move to another city? Or you're going to move to another city so I'll be left alone? Good riddance. Oh,
You going to go back to school to save those at school and to get to a position where, in accordance with the scriptures, you have enough left over to help those truly in need? Or are you going back to school so I can have that car and that house, that wife, and that diamond ring to woo her? If you really live your life seeking the good of others rather than your own good, you can't lose. You can't lose. What's the worst case scenario? That others don't want it. All right, well, there are 6 billion people in the world. Find some other others. Yeah, certainly there's got to be somebody out there. No, I've talked to these three, and, you know, I've worked on them for 20 years. You know, they just won't have it. Fine, I quit. Well, how about these three over here? You know, you just do stuff for the good of others, not for your own good. You don't go to school so you can be a success. You go to school so you can get in a position to help others better. You don't not go to school so that you can go make money right away so you can be your own man. You don't go to school because you sacrifice for the fact that you have a wife and young kids and you have to go to school later. I mean, I don't know. You figure it out. But it's going to be, what do my people need? What does my family need? What does the ministry need? What do the lost need? That's what I'm up for. That's what I do. And if you live that way, it will be beneficial. It will be constructive. Of course, everything is permissible. But since everything's permissible, it's like, whoa, that's a big buffet. You got to deal with Pat before he gets to the big buffet, because he'll take it down. You got to say, whoa, now, brother, this is the standard at the buffet, despite what you see. Okay? You know, and you know, the good of others is the standard. Oh, okay. Well, all right, I got you now. You know, that pares down the buffet. Everything's permissible, but don't end up grumbling and don't make, oh, you're going to make mistakes. But if you're led by the fact that you are going to do the good of others and seek the good of others and not your own good, you cannot lose. I'm telling you, you cannot lose. That is the way to live it, to stay out of major, major trouble. You'll never grumble. You'll never grumble. You're not in it for you. What are you going to grumble about? I'm not in this for me. Well, right? If I'm in it for me, though, if it doesn't go well for me, I got a problem with it. I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for you. I'm all good. I'm way too taken care of course. Okay? If that is your heart and your life and the standard by which you live, you'll be fine. And you'll never complain. And it'll be remarkable because people go, wow, you used to be such a whiner and a complainer. How is it you don't complain anymore? Amen. I just am able to live this standard at the buffet table of everything being permissible. It keeps me out of trouble, and I can do it. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the awesome rain and thunder and light show at the park. We thank you for actually being able to live the Bible and being interrupted. Father, so many times the word got everyone in trouble. Messages were always interrupted. And preaching of your word will get us in a lot of trouble down the road, Father, we know. We thank you for everybody here. Thank you so much, God, for the serving hearts and feeding everybody, that everybody pitching in, for Tanya taking care of the kids. For them being able to swim and love and rejoice. And Father, we thank you for everybody who is here tonight. I pray, Father, that as we take the Lord's Supper, we can give it the depth it needs. Father, I pray that everyone who needs to be open has been open, that we can take your Lord's Supper, Father. We can pray. We can hear each other pray. Father, be awesome. And we thank you so much for this time together today. Thank you for your word in rescuing us from ourselves, rescuing us, Father, from our own way to try to figure out how to be happy. And Father, we can never thank you enough for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.